Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is Greystone's Heritage Sunday and the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Today, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, A Living Hope. Here's Pam Weiss with our scripture reading.
Today's scripture is taken from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9 and 13 through 16. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And now verses 13 through 16. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct, for it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Last Sunday afternoon, my family and I stood on the back porch of our house and we watched as our baby butterfly, affectionately named Hangy, spread his wings and flew away. This exciting event was the culmination of a much longer journey that we had with this particular butterfly. It really started for us, at least, when my mom started sending us daily videos and pictures of these very curious caterpillars laying waste to her butterfly bush. Each day, the caterpillars grew larger and larger, just like Eric Carle told us they would in the book, The Hungry, Hungry Caterpillar. And after they'd eaten their fill and just about demolished Mom's plant, they formed the most beautiful green cocoons, with silver dots along the bottom and a thin silver line near the top. After these chrysalids were all formed and safely fastened to the underside of some leaves on nearby plants, my mom clipped a few of those leaves and placed them in canning jars for observation. Now, we were fortunate to receive one of those chrysalids from her, and we watched it very closely for the next 9 days. We waited and watched for signs of transformation and new life. Monarch butterflies spend an average of 9 to 12 days wrapped up in their cocoons. 9 to 12 days. Well, that may not seem like too long for us, especially after COVID stay-at-home orders, but their whole lifespan is only about 9 months long. So translated into human years, with our average lifespan of 80 years or so, these little creatures spend about 3 years in the middle of life, wrapped up in a chrysalid, immobile, and literally hanging on by a beautiful thread to the underside of a leaf. They spend that time just waiting for change to come. Well, that's a long time to be in transition. Can you imagine spending 3 years in the middle of life just waiting for change? Well, perhaps this is why the butterfly has become such a popular symbol for us. It's much more comforting to watch and observe something else go through a beautiful transformation than it is to endure our own long seasons of life-altering transformation. When Peter writes to the churches in Asia Minor, the letter now printed in our Bibles and called 1 Peter, he's writing to people living in the midst of great change. His original readers are first-generation Gentile converts trying to live their new faith in a secular world and under Roman rule. Some of these early Christians experienced state-sanctioned violence, while others were ostracized from their families and communities, all because of their treasonous claim, their profession of faith that Jesus Christ was Lord. And it was treasonous because it inherently meant that Caesar was not. Their newfound identity as followers of Christ meant that their ultimate allegiance and loyalty would now reside at the throne of God, and the emperor did not appreciate that. Worldly rulers seldom do. And it makes sense when you think about it, really, because the goal of Caesar, the goal of empire, is really to keep everybody in line. It's to reinforce the status quo and to protect that economic structure which upholds the established hierarchies of wealth and class and power. But Jesus' message undermined all of that. It resisted the comfort, for some, of business as usual, and it insisted on divine transformation, which would restructure and reorganize this world to make it look more like the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus demanded change. Dr. David Brubaker at Eastern Mennonite University says that change is so hard for us because it calls into question our very identity. It calls into question our identity and our power within all the systems and structures that shape our lives. When things change and we're forced to adapt, we struggle to know who we are in relation to everything else. And we want to know how we fit into the new world. But God calls us to a different kind of security. One that is not born and cradled in the safety of social class or economic stability or political influence or power. God calls us to die to all of those false promises and to be reborn as followers of Jesus, citizens first of God's kingdom, champions of the poor and the marginalized, not only in the sweet by and by one day when we get to heaven, but in the very present here and now. You see, that process of being reborn, it isn't just about our eternal salvation. It is also about our ongoing transformation. Like a caterpillar in its cocoon, we are being transformed into something new. This transformation often starts with some kind of spiritual awakening. A moment in which we realize just how broken we are. And in those moments of despair, we can find comfort and hope in the promise that God is always with us. I can just imagine those early Christians to whom Peter writes the words we read today. I imagine them feeling like we do after a great youth retreat, or after an encouraging devotion, or after an empowering conversation with our friends that reminds us of who we are in the sight of God. In those moments, we know, we can trust, we believe that all will be well, that God is with us, and that no matter what comes our way, we are going to make it through. But then we get back to the regular parts of our lives, and we attempt to live as disciples of Christ, and all of that seems to be lost somewhere. Lost in the never-ending struggles that come our way. Money is tight. Relationships are strained. The future is uncertain. In times like those, when everything around us seems to be falling apart, all we want is for things to be back the way they were. When we were confident, when we knew that God was with us and taking care of us, back before the accident, before the pandemic, before the cancer, before the affair, before the protests, before the miscarriage, before the news, before whatever interruption came and stole our hope away. We long for those days. Like the early Christians in Asia Minor, we find ourselves at a crossroads of past and future. Born into the love of Christ, confident that one day God is going to make it all okay, but yet still caught in the struggle of the very present now. Caught in the present moment with nowhere to turn and no hope to be found. We're stuck. We're hanging on by a thread like a caterpillar in a cocoon on the underside of a leaf, just waiting to see what is going to happen next. As I watched our little monarch chrysalis over these last several weeks, I couldn't help but wonder how much the caterpillar knew about the change that was taking place. As the body went through that complete transformation from one kind of creature to another one altogether, did the mind of the caterpillar understand what it would become? Did it struggle and wrestle within that cocoon, or did it wait peacefully, resting and trusting, having hope for all that would be to come? From our perspective, the transformation of the caterpillar to the butterfly is one that's full of hope and excitement. But I have to wonder if it really feels that way from inside the cocoon. We are living in a time of great change. A global pandemic has interrupted and reshaped every rhythm of life and work and travel and play that we knew and loved just 6 months ago. Economic structures, they are shattered, career paths interrupted, and over 900,000 people have died globally as a result of this novel virus. And as if that isn't enough, there is a contentious national election coming up, and a nationwide movement for racial justice is afoot. There is so much change happening all around us right now, and it's pulling us in a million directions, demanding that we place our allegiance and our ultimate loyalty with one Caesar or another, each one claiming opposite solutions to the same problems, each one promising a false hope and a superficial identity. As Christians living in this time of great change, we are called to remember where our first allegiance belongs. And that allegiance is born deeply within the heart of God, who created us in God's holy image, who taught us how to live at peace with one another, and who offers us new life when we allow ourselves to be transformed from the ways of Caesar's empire and into the ways of God's kingdom, where all are welcomed and all are fed and all are healed and all are at peace with one another. You know, sometimes that kingdom vision seems to be so far off from our current reality. Sometimes it seems to be so far off that we begin to lose hope it's even possible. But then I remember that beautiful butterfly, the one that flew away from my porch last Sunday after all those long days, wrapped up and waiting in a cocoon, delicately and beautifully strung to the underside of a leaf. And I wonder if the same God who created caterpillars that turn into butterflies, I wonder if that same God might just be watching and working, perhaps even shaping a new creation within me and within you and within us. What a shame it would have been if that butterfly had emerged from its cocoon only to crawl back in, trying to become what it used to be. What a shame that would have been. We would have never seen the wings grow stronger and the little legs start to crawl up the leaf. We would have never known the joy of the weight of the butterfly on our fingers, or the hope of seeing it take off and fly away into the afternoon sky. We would have never known the full beauty of transformation. Isn't the same true for us? Here on this Heritage Sunday, as we remember our 36 years of life and ministry together, we can bet that surely there were times when it would have been easy to resist change, to refuse transformation. But where would we be today if we had let our fears keep us from becoming who God was calling us to be? I wonder if Dr. Lewis, the pastor at First Baptist who first issued the call to our founders to set out on a journey that would eventually become this church, Greystone Baptist Church. I wonder if Dr. Lewis had written a letter to us, much like the letter that Peter wrote to those scattered churches in Asia Minor. I wonder what that letter might say. Perhaps it would be something like this. Dear beloved congregation at Greystone Church, grace and peace to you in this unusual season of life together. In such days, it seems nothing is how it used to be or how you imagined it would be. But remember always that in Christ, resurrection abounds. Where there seems to be only death and loss, God breathes new life. That is your story as sisters and brothers in Christ. So do not be discouraged if you are struggling now, because you can rest assured that while you endure this season of transformation, God is busy shaping and molding you into new creation. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Practice your faith, stretch and grow and learn so that your life can bear witness to the living hope that withstands every trial and tribulation. Do not succumb to the solutions and pathways the rulers of this world have to offer, but look for holy resolutions to every struggle. You have among you and within you everything it takes to endure this season. And where your confidence runs out, the Spirit will make up all the difference. God is still using you to bring a gospel hope into our world. You are, each and every one, a living stone. A living stone, a piece of the foundation of God's kingdom being built here on earth. Therefore, live as one who has faith in God's unfolding creation. Love always. Live in peace. And when you can do nothing more, rest in God's love, knowing that you are being made new. I wonder if his letter would sound anything like that. Like the caterpillar in the cocoon. It may not seem like much is happening right now in these days of waiting and longing for some kind of return to normalcy. We're stuck at home. We can't engage and serve our community in the ways that we are so used to doing. But it might do us well to remember that our God is a God of active and restless creation. And that the Holy Spirit, just like the caterpillar and the chrysalis, is never simply biding time, but always working to reconcile all things into new creation. And perhaps, even in our struggle towards new life, God is actively infusing us with a living hope, ready at any moment to spread its wings and fly. May it be so. Amen.